Christ is risen. Happy Resurrection Day, everybody. We celebrate this every Sunday, don't we? But today is a special day when we focus in. We remember the great resurrection of Jesus. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 15:17. 1 Corinthians 15:17, just a few verses here. And a short encouragement exhortation to sort of warm us up with the word of God this morning. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Then verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. And then the end of the chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, today I want to talk about depression. I want to talk a little bit about hopelessness and depression. Everybody experiences this to some extent or another. We all go through periods of depression. Sometimes it's chronic, sometimes it's not. What is depression but a feeling of sadness that just continues? Feelings of sadness, perpetuating. It's hard to get away from it. Sometimes we dip into a sense of purposelessness. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I waking up in the morning? Why am I going to church? Why do I do anything that I do? A sense of purposelessness. There's also the lack of motivation. This is where depression becomes extremely chronic, where you may have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning because you just have lost motivation for life. And again, this thing can become chronic. You get to the point where you're in this slippery hole and you just try to climb out of the hole, but you slip back into the hole over and over again. Well, the single most critical cause of depression is hopelessness. And that's why it's basically an oxymoron for a Christian to be a depressed Christian. Because we are supposed to be those who are hoping. Those who believe in Jesus, those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And so today you're going to hear about the resurrection one more time from our brother. He's going to bring a message on the resurrection. And so I want to coach you a little bit. I want to encourage you to hope in this, to hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. That's the exhortation. So basically coach you through this. I want to give you 6 tips on how to hope, how you can hope as well. And as you hear the best news in the universe this morning from Brother Josh, you hear the news. You're going to hear the news again. He's going to shout it out one more time from the pulpit. And how are you going to respond to the message? That's the question. So I want to prepare you for that right now. Give you 6 tips on how to hope. So just quickly, here we go. Number one, first thing you need to do is this. You need to have a good reason to hope. You need to receive good news from an authoritative source. Children, consider, for example, let's say you have a 5-year-old brother who tells you, Dad's taking us camping next week. So he just shared that information, your 5-year-old brother. Now, you happen to know your 5-year-old brother is not a reliable source of information. He has been known to give you the wrong message about 90% of the time. Well, of course, you're not going to receive that as an authoritative source. That's not something that's going to get you excited. You're going to have to go to Dad, right? You're going to have to find out from Dad, because you know that Dad keeps his promises. So you're going to go to Dad and say, Dad, are we going camping next week? And if Dad says, yeah, we're going camping next week, and you know Dad keeps his promises, then you're pretty happy. Then you know you've got the message, a good message from an authoritative source. And so in a similar sense, we have a reason to hope. And what is our reason to hope? In 1 Corinthians 15, towards the beginning there, Paul says, this is the gospel. I give you the gospel. And that is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. Meaning that God said it. God said it. God did it. And let's just say that settles it. God said it. He said he was going to do it. He said he did it. And he did it. He raised his son from the dead. And therefore, on the basis of that authority, I have hope. I believe it, and I receive it, and I have hope for this great news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Son of God from the dead. So you can't get a higher source of truth. You just can't go higher. There's nobody who can give you an assurance of the truth of that proposition more than God himself. He's the source of all truth. He cannot lie. He guaranteed it. He signed it in the blood of his Son. It's a done deal. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. That's number one. You've got to have good reason and an authoritative source. Secondly, the thing hoped for, the thing you're hoping in, must counter every other fear or every possible worst case scenario or every negative premonition. See, our lives are filled with bad news. It's just the way life is. There's a lot of increasingly disastrous and difficult circumstances that we will confront in our lives. And oftentimes, each new storm that we are going through ourselves is worse than the previous one, which means that future premonitions concerning future trials and tribulations that I will face, that my family will face, may very well be worse than the ones I've confronted up to this point. That's why the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he has overcome death and sin and guaranteed for us eternal life, is absolutely essential for us, because it counters every possible fear or premonition of what could happen in the future. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we were troubled on every side, burdened beyond measure. The sentence of death was on us. It was the end of the end of the end. But he said, I still believe in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Still in a good mood, on the ground, overcome, sentence of death, beaten by everybody, at the very edge, the precipice of death himself. He says, but I believe in God who raises the dead. Best case scenario meets the worst case. That's number two. The thing hoped for must counter every fear, every premonition. Thirdly, got to understand the devil's got a plaid coat, and he's always selling cheap hopes to somehow distract us and displace the other hope. You can't give way, this is number three, you can't give way to cheap hope. Can't allow for it. People hope for a wonderful dinner. People hope for the next six pack to give them something of that little thing to get them through. But the hope, this hope has got to transcend all the cheap hopes that disappoint us. Here's the problem with false hopes. False hopes found in things like alcohol and entertainment and stuff, they always put us in a negative cycle. They promise they don't deliver. They promise they don't deliver. They promise we take it, they don't deliver. They promise again we take it, we don't deliver. And we get into a negative cycle in which the depression only increases. That's why alcohol typically yields more depression. Because there's this hope and then there's the disappointment. And now you're into the depressing negative cycle, and it just continues to be a self-fulfilling prophecy and increases a chronic depression in our lives. So you cannot allow for, you cannot receive any kind of a displacement or a cheap look-alike of hope that the devil always wants to bring in. You've got to reject it, reject the false hopes. And then number four, here's tip four. This hope must control our minds. As you receive the hope, it must be a controlling force in the way that we think day by day. Let me talk about a focal point. There's a focal point, and the focal point needs to be on the future outlook and not so much on the present or the past. Now, if you talk about the focus of a camera, what a focus of a camera does is it maximizes resolution and clarity upon the person's face or that one feature that you're interested in, everything else sort of blurring out. So the photo may include quite a bit of stuff around it, but you're focusing in on that one thing. And so this hope must focus, be the focal point, while that which lies in the past is blurry. And that which is in the present is not quite as clear. So the focal point is on the future hope. That's critical in our mind's eye as we proceed. And then number five, here's tip five. You've got to remember the basis for your hope. Every day you need to come over it one more time and say, you know, Christ is risen. And tell yourself that. Tell everybody in the house, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. We're working off of today. Everything we're doing is based upon the presupposition that Jesus is risen and we are rising with him. And today we're going to rise with Jesus. We're going to walk with Jesus. We're looking forward to a final physical resurrection as well. And therefore, we're going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Think about Psalm 78. The men of Ephraim turned back in the day of battle. They wimped out. Why? It was a bad day. It was a really bad day. They lost a sense of God's works. They forgot the works of God. They forgot what God had already done. And they lost their future hope for the success of the battle that he was going to give to them. So you've got to remember the basis for your hope. And then number six, here's the last tip. You've got to obliterate all other inputs, especially those negative inputs that are to the contrary of the hope. Some mind control issue. Here's a truism for you. Let me try this out on you. Habitually negative thinking about the wrong things will get you down. Do you all agree with that? If you get into this habitually wrong thinking about negative things, especially as pertaining to the future, and that becomes dominant in your mind, guys, that's just going to get you down. Here's one more good maxim. Don't drink poison. You tell your two-year-old that, don't you? Tell yourself that. What are you doing drinking poison? What do we mean by that, Pastor? Well, surfing the wrong websites that do not reflect the hope of Christ. See, inputs matter. What you're reading, what you're accepting, these things matter. How are you feeding yourself? Can't be pouring poison on the plants. Can't be doing that in your own head. And the world is all about hopelessness. You know it is. Nobody's living happily ever after anymore. It's not the narrative. It's not the postmodern narrative. That's just not the narrative. Watch the movies. They're not living happily ever after, for the most part. Even the love stories, if there are any. They don't live happily ever after anymore. Depressing novels from the 1800s, 1900s, The Old Man and the Sea of Mice and Men. It's just pure acid to the brain. That's what it's intended to be. So don't pour that poison over the plants. You're probably going to wilt and die if that happens. So don't do that. Now, somebody says, let me just close with this. Somebody says, okay, Pastor, I already know all this stuff. I've heard this before. But why am I still depressed? Why am I still negative? Why do I have a hard time with joy? When I hear a message about joy and hope and the sorts of things that we're hearing today, I'm just kind of down because I don't really relate to any of that. What would we say to somebody like that? Here's the first thing that we say, I think, is that you're doubting God. You're doubting God's truthfulness. You're doubting that God could be that truthful. You're doubting that God could be that good. You're doubting God's promises. See, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who wait upon him. You hear that, you say, this doesn't do anything for me. That just doesn't do anything to me. But you hear the pastor say that. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. God has prepared an amazing resurrection and a future and glory for all of us. Hallelujah! And we're doing a dance. And then maybe there's a person going, yeah, but that doesn't really do anything to me. But that's because you're doubting God. That's because you're not receiving God's promise. You've got to say to yourself, why am I doubting God? Who are you to doubt God? Who am I to doubt God? What business do I have doubting God? Standing up in the presence of God saying, God, I doubt you. I just don't believe you, God. I won't believe your promises, God. What's with that? Why are you doing that? You see, you're not to do that. You're not to doubt God. God's not to be doubted. That seems to be a kind of a rebellious and a an obnoxious sort of pushing away of God who's here to give you this wonderful gift, and you're like, bah humbug about the whole thing. Does that sound like a good attitude? Anybody, does that sound like a good attitude to take to it? So I think this is where we start. At the point at which we're doubting God, we're just going to have to repent of that. We have no right to doubt God. That five-year-old, you know, dad says, we're going camping. And the five-year-old comes down, I doubt you, God, or dad. I doubt you, dad. I doubt that. That five-year-old's attitude towards God, to dad, is not very good. Similarly, we may not have a right attitude towards God ourselves. We're not to doubt dad. We're not to doubt the Father. Not to doubt the promises of God. So, if there's any doubt at all, if there's any lack of joy at all, if there's any lack of hope in the promises of God this morning in you, if there's just a little bit of that, well, not sure that God is true to this promise for me, if there's any doubt, let's just repent of it. Amen. Let's just say, I'm done with that. I'm done with doubt. Somebody say that right now. I'm done with doubt. I'm done with doubt. I'm not going to doubt God anymore. That's it. So let's repent of it. Let's confess it. Let's say, God, sorry, forgive me. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not doubting you anymore. I'm receiving your promises, beautiful promises. So one more time, we're going to hear the message, the good news. The best news in the universe is coming from this pulpit. One more time this morning, let's just receive it. Let's believe it. And let's just dance for joy and say, hallelujah. We have the ultimate hope, sealed by the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a moment. Let's just humble ourselves. Let's get down on our knees, plead God's mercy and his forgiveness for our sins. And if you just can't kneel right now, it's fine. Just bow your head. But let's get in a humble position before God and just ask for his mercy. We need his mercy. We need his forgiveness. Let's say this prayer together. Most holy God, we confess that our thoughts, our affections, our words, and our actions all fall short of your holiness. Great God of infinite power, we confess our utter weakness in ourselves to do what is pleasing to you, including worship. Forgive us, O God, all lapses in love for you supremely, and for failing to love our neighbor as ourselves, according to your righteousness offered us in Christ, and the power made ours through his resurrection. Cleanse us, strengthen us, renew us, enable us to worship you and to walk with you in the days and weeks to come until we join those who praise you perfectly in heaven. In Jesus' matchless name, amen.